This episode of The Instance is brought to you by our new Patreon at patreon.com/frogpants. If you like The Instance and you want to see it grow and continue to be awesome, contribute at patreon.com/frogpants today.
Horde side.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance Proper, a brand new episode of The Instance, episode 381 for Friday, September 19th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. I'm joined by Dills. Hello, Dills.
Hey, Scott.
What's going on,
man? How's it going, man?
I'm all right.
How you? You know, you have big things on the horizon here.
Do I now?
We were talking about in the pre-show. Yeah.
I kind of do.
Day coming up.
Yeah, my life is about to change in a very fundamental way tomorrow.
True.
My daughter, my oldest daughter, who is now 20, which is already a freaky thing to say, is getting married tomorrow to this totally rad kid who's 22 and super cool. And they got engaged back in July and they decided to have a quick engagement. Just get right to it, man. Just want to get right to it. And
get to that being married part.
Yep. So they got their apartment. They got their stuff all lined up. We got piles of Amazon gifts because when I was getting married, they didn't have that. So you had to go to like Target or whatever. Yeah.
The whole registry thing I always thought was kind of weird. I thought you're just supposed to pick something out. And then eventually it was like, no, I'll tell you what to get us.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that's how it went too. Now
it's Amazon registry.
Yeah, and it's even worse because they just send you what's on your list. And there is no, I guess you can send things back, but you can't like do what we did is we had it, I want to say at Target and then a Sears or something.
Yeah.
Was it Sears? Well, something like that. It was like a big department store where you can get all kinds of things, right? So we went in there and all the money people had spent on silverware or bowls or kitchen crap or whatever, we cashed it all in on pants. And that is the truth. We got freaking pants.
You needed those pants. Huh?
I did. I needed jeans.
Like, we gotta start our life together, but I can't do it without pants. I mean,
right.
No one's going to take me seriously.
Right. It was like a stack of 505 jeans or something that I got out of that deal.
And, that's pretty epic.
It's still a pretty weird story to tell. But yeah, it's all Amazon all the time now. And that's a very strange change in the way things work. And also, you know, you didn't really have a lot of cameras during the lead up to weddings when I got married. I mean, there were cameras, but, you know, digital was expensive and nobody was really doing that.
You had to stop by the 1 hour photo mart. And
yeah. Hope that Robin Williams doesn't do something creepy with your photos.
Doesn't start stalking your family. Exactly.
That's a weird movie. But and then, you know, they've got snapshots of everything leading up because everyone's got phones and it's just such a different time. It's weird that the thing I'm noticing the most about the process isn't, oh, my little girl's all grown up or any of this stuff. That'll all hit me tomorrow.
Sure.
But the lead up has all been about, man, what a different time we live in. What a weird, this is a weird time. All this stuff's happening in real time. And people saw your dress before some of your family did because you put it on Facebook and, you know, this is all new territory.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, it's happened. I mean, it used to be too that everybody really felt like they had to fly there to do the thing.
Yep.
I feel like that's less now too. People don't really feel the need to. They're like, it's fine. I'll see everything on Facebook. It's cool.
Exactly.
Travel across the country.
That's anymore. How a lot of people are doing it. And then a lot of really great support from fans and fellow producers and a lot of people just being really cool about it. So yeah, tomorrow's the day. Then Tuesday is a big bonus reception thing for a bunch of traveling people. And then we're done. Then it's off to the races for the next two, whenever that happens, hopefully a long time from now. And I don't have to think about these
things. I don't know, man. That Nick kid, pretty handsome guy.
He's a babe magnet. Yeah. If I can just get him to brush those teeth a little better, that's the final step for that kid. All right. Ooh, someone just sent this.
Stick to the subject. God damn it.
Oh, somebody thinks we're off topic here already. Hey, look, here's the deal. WoW is still a thing. That's still the game people play. We're going to do a show about it today. But I do have to tell you, I'm at this weird place again. And I think you can commiserate, right? You know?
Yeah.
Lots of D3. Playing Diablo 3 like an idiot. I just love it. I love it. It's my Zen game right now. I just can't get enough of it. I'm doing all this new content.
I'm falling in too, man. I finally got my first 70. So,
oh, that's just the beginning of the trouble. Did you do? You doing any of this seasonal stuff, or how do you feel?
But I'm not gonna level that. Like, I had a guy who was at like 60, and I started a demon hunter and got to about 31, and I'll revisit him and.
Yeah,
and we'll see. But you know, the guy was so close to 70. I was like, just because of the seasonal thing doesn't mean that I should move off of this guy.
Yeah, I agree. So, you should. I think that is the right thing to do because these seasons are going to keep going. It's not like this is the one and only.
And I'm not going to play hardcore enough to win the season or anything. I don't even know what you get. Honestly,
leaderboard
like,
stuff you get, and achievements.
Yeah,
and blah,
you get
blah.
Achievements that kind of stick, and there's gear that's specific to that season.
Right.
But you know, my barbarian was just so damn close. I just said, "Nah, screw it. I'm powering through with this guy," and hit 70. And I think I'm at like Paragon 20 or something
that's
not
bad. That's pretty good.
Considering
you just hit it. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah. And, you know, play the other night I was streaming, and then some guys on my stream, I was like, I kind of feel like playing Diablo right now.
Yeah.
I was like, anybody want to play? And got three guys. We went to Torment like 2 or 3, which is way too high for me.
Right.
And they just carried me through and got a bunch of new stuff. So,
yeah, there's nothing like quick Paragon levels when you're rolling with guys that are geared better, because that stuff will add up fast.
The problem for me is I'm a barbarian, so I want to get in there and whirlwind and rend away. So I kept dying because I was running ahead of all these guys.
Yeah,
I'm so badass.
You get all tanky, and those pink lasers are gonna be the end of you.
Yeah, those pink lasers, holy crap,
they're the worst. The game's just really strong. It's never been at a better point in my mind, and I'm gonna finish out. I've almost hit 70 with my seasonal, so I'm nowhere near obviously world first with this guy, but I should rank up there okay in the middle of the pack somewhere. And gotten a lot of cool exclusive stuff with him, been running with friends. I think that seasonal thing is really smart, and it works better than I expected. I kind of thought, well, what's going to be the real difference here between just making a standard ass character and this guy?
Yeah.
And what I found is the extras are really compelling and make you want to keep going. And there is something to be said just for that leveling up process. Plus, I got to do him all in adventure mode, which means, you know, rifts and bounties and stuff, which means I don't have to do the story 50 times over.
It's true. Yeah.
And you won't either. Whatever you do for alts now, regardless of character, it can be your way or the story if you want. Like, I love the choice and the variety, and console version's still great. And I don't know. I just don't say enough about that game. Or maybe I do. Maybe I say plenty about that game.
Well, you know, it's funny that people were complaining about the seasonal stuff, and that, you know, there's not extra character slots, I guess, now, because
true.
And I saw some of the complaints that people were saying, how could you not give us extra character slots? Everybody has a level 70 of every single class in full best in slot gear, and it just makes me realize that there's people who do that, and they think everyone else does that too.
Yeah, well, and if they do, they should still have some slots though, because that would only fill up some of them. That means I've got multiples with decked out stuff, which I don't know why you do that. Maybe different genders or something.
Different genders, sure. I don't know.
That's
different
crazy.
Builds.
That's
but
crazy.
It's just to me, I mean, I think they probably should have done the seasonal thing earlier, like a lot quicker before any of this stuff. Like, I would have loved to have seen it a little bit faster, but I don't care. I'm glad it's here.
It's cool.
It's a cool feature in games like this, and a lot of other games do it. I mean, Diablo 2 did something like this, right?
Stuff toward the end.
It really gets you motivated to try, and even if you're not someone who's going to get world first and win everything, just to kind of see where you are, that game can kind of feel sometimes like you're just in a vacuum almost.
Yeah.
Just running around just killing trash.
Yeah, that can certainly feel that way. So they keep adding cool stuff. They have more stuff on the horizon. It just keeps getting better. The console version is awesome. There's just a lot going on there. And it's helping fill the void for me, which is this, you know, weird, I don't know, just not, I get into WoW, fly around a little bit and go, well, what do I do? Well, there's 1,000 things I could do, but do I really want to do any of that?
Going to the beta right now, though, and it feels like there's too much, and I don't want to do any of it because I want to do it all for real pretty soon. Yep. And
Yeah, and it doesn't, I mean, I've never been more excited to play the expansion. I'm ready, man. Like, let's go. This is just what happens. The expansion's on the horizon. That doesn't make me want to play current content. That makes me want to play new content. And even though the beta's there, or the open beta, and I can get on there anytime, I'm in the same boat as you. I don't want to see all that stuff and be done with it.
I feel like I got to see what I wanted to see with the beta.
Yeah.
And that is, I got to kind of test a little bit, mess around with some new talents, see how some of the talents that went away affected my characters, and got to kind of get the sense and the feel of the new stuff. But once I actually start questing and things like that, as soon as I start doing that, I just get this dread of, I don't want to spoil this for myself. I want to feel fresh as I'm going through all of this stuff and that I'm playing a new game, you know? So
yep, totally.
Kind of log out of that. And then I try to log back into Pandaria and then I go, nah, I'm not going back to my farm. I'm just not going back to my farm.
Well,
right,
that's
now.
Part of the problem too, is I go and mess with this mage on the beta and I go, well, I really like all these changes. And then I go back to my mage and go, I don't like any of these changes. I mean, yeah. I don't like that it's not changed yet is what I mean.
Sure, yeah.
So like, now I got to play the old way. Back? Yeah. I don't like that feeling. Yeah. That feeling feels like backpedaling and, you know, and I understand it's a necessary evil. This is the way we test things, but I struggle with that. It makes me want to play less. So I'm going to hold off. Although, here's the deal. We got to get this out of the way. I see on Twitter yesterday that one Willie Deals Gregory may have opened truly Pandora's box and entered into a new realm, a rabbit hole that goes so deep you'll pop out on the other side and see Chinese people everywhere. Dills went and got a bunch of magic cards. What are you doing, man?
I did. Well, here's the thing, Scott. You know I do that Hearthstone
podcast. Oh, yeah.
Little known Hearthstone podcast called The Ink Chicken. As we talk about collectible card games, I just realized that there's a little bit of a void in the fact that I've never really picked up on live Magic. I've played plenty of Magic online and Magic, like the Planeswalkers games on the iPad and stuff like that.
Sure.
But just live Magic, holding the cards, understanding what's going on in the meta, all that stuff has not been part of my, it's not part of my lexicon. I don't really know what's going on there. And I just kind of got the feeling like I should know this stuff just a little bit, I don't need to be all in there. I don't need to be playing at the, you know, World Cup of whatever. I don't even know what you call it. The Grand Prix or something. I don't know.
Oh, you know, the World Cup of whatever. I think that was it.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. Like, and they're all here for the World Cup of whatever. Shuffling their magic cards.
Wow. That's awesome.
Playing their Black Lotuses.
I think it makes sense, too, that you, in a weird way, it's kind of the other way for a lot of people where Magic or playing other collectible card games leads to playing Hearthstone. In your case, the other way around, maybe. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, so my Hearthstone's the first card game that I've really gotten into to the point where I kind of keep up with what's going on day to day with all of the games, the card changes, the current decks, the best decks. And I just wanted to see what was going on in the world. I kind of wanted to get the feeling of holding the cards, shuffling the cards and drawing the deck. And, you know, because again, like that's another thing I don't really know how that goes. I've played maybe one or two games of actual Magic in my life with a deck somebody handed me.
Oh,
and said, here's a deck, play it, you know?
Yeah.
And then I sat there and I was like, well, how do I do this? And what about, oh, I got to tap my guys. You're right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Just that kind of stuff, you know, and I'd like to get a little bit more into it. So I got the cards. I got some card protectors so I can actually, you know, make a deck, protect all the cards in that deck, figure it out, swap some stuff in and out. I got them yesterday, so I don't even know what the hell. I went through them all, opened them all. That was amazing, by the way.
Yeah, I'll bet. Did it go, you know, rare when you opened up a rare?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I couldn't. I was trying to, like, hover over them while they're upside down and see what it was. But
doesn't work that same way. You can't just drag it over into the little hole over there either. It's,
yeah. Yeah, I was like, space bar, next pack, just open up for me.
What's going on?
But I did. So I got like four or five foil cards, which are kind of cool. They're pretty sweet looking. I didn't get any gold, like epics, I guess you would call them. But yeah. I got, you know, there's at least one rare in every pack. So I got some decent stuff, but I don't really know what's decent and what's not decent, honestly. Right. I look at the stats and I look at the effect and I can kind of get a sense of that, but I need to actually play some games out. So
yeah, what's the plan there? You got like a bar game lined up or anything cool?
Well, there's a store pretty close to my house where I believe they have Friday Night Magic, which is
very nice. That's the
thing, right? So I figure I'll just walk over there and just introduce myself and pretend like I know what I'm talking.
I love it because it does seem a little daunting. It's like starting a MOBA for the first time. I feel like you got to walk in there and do you have to declare your noobishness or I don't know.
I am going to. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to say, hey, I've never actually played this game before. Anybody up for some money games? See what happens.
You're going to be hustling them.
Yeah, I'm gonna hustle him.
That's great.
But no, I just you know, I need some guidance at this point. And Twitter has been pretty helpful. I sent out a couple tweets, and yeah, everybody got back to me and said, you know, try this, try that.
I have to think that the TAC community and the Instance community and the Prog Pants community, these guys are gonna be, you're gonna find a lot of helpful magic dudes. So that's good.
What I'll probably do too is at BlizzCon, maybe I'll bring, you know, some decks with me and some cards and see if anybody wants to sit down and play some games.
No, so, why not, dude? We'll have, yeah, have big room for it. Why not? Seems yeah, like a good idea to me. Well, good.
But I'm excited. I'm also completely overwhelmed because there's so much information. Sometimes I'm looking at stuff, people are like, oh yeah, play this kind of deck. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. You know, if I were to tell, you know, if I were to tell somebody who's never played Hearthstone before, yeah, play Miracle Rogue. It's really good.
Yeah.
Like that Miracle, what? There's no card called Miracle.
What does that even mean? Yeah. It sounds like crazy talk coming out of a crazy person.
So yeah, it's just now it's time to learn the lingo.
I'll tell you what, I appreciate a gamer, or in this case, a tabletopper, who is coming at it fresh and is humbly acknowledging that and just saying, hey guys, I'm new and I'd really like to learn. And there's something endearing about that. I feel like there's going to be a resurgence of that being an attractive quality in a gamer, and we don't have to automatically just freaking flame those people for not knowing what they're doing. Yes. So you'll have to report back. I'm actually kind of anxious to hear how this goes.
Okay. I'll let you know. First, I got to play a game.
Yeah. You got to get one under your damn belt.
Play a game against somebody.
Yeah, I understand completely. All right. It's time for, oh, you know what? Here's this.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
Big news of the week would not be big news of the week without our friends at DoghouseSystems.com, who would like you to go check out their brand new gaming rigs. Always great, always updated, always doing new stuff and fantastic stuff over there at DoghouseSystems.com, where you can still get double the memory with the code Henry, H-E-R-N-Y, the name of my World of Warcraft pet Henry. Let's save you a little bit of money by giving you double the memory at DoghouseSystems.com. We love them, so will you. So, it's been a weird couple of weeks because I would argue, outside a couple of very small things, it hasn't been, you know, again, we're in that period, not a ton of news, stuff's trickling in. If there's any news this week, and this, I say this with all sincerity and as humbly as I can, because I realize it happened here on this show, but to me, the biggest news this week was the amazing openness and incredible conversation I got to have with Chris Metzen on this show a couple of days ago. It's up on the feed. If you didn't get it, just go back an episode and there it is. It's called The Full Metzen. And it was, unbelievably wonderful conversation and inspiring in many ways. And those who've already heard it, you know what I'm talking about. It just was awesome. It was a conversation I was telling Dills before the show that I did not expect to get much in the way of Warcraft stuff. We were going to have a more kind of casual, let's talk about our kind of nerdy interests and talk about what makes Chris tick and that sort of thing. And instead, there's a ton of that, but there is so much wow stuff in there about fundamental philosophies and reasoning behind expansion decisions and how they feel about certain expansions in retrospect and how they feel about Warlords coming up. It was real good, real deep, good stuff.
He's the guy you want to have those kind of, you know, there's nobody putting the leash on him, right?
Not really.
You're saying like, I some of this stuff I wasn't expecting him to be able to say, like, how can you say that? But who's going to tell him, you know, who's going to tell Metzen, oh man, he shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, and none of it was like, oh, he's spilled the beans on some unannounced project, or it was none of that. It was all just stuff like
really candid and
very candid from the heart stuff, and just he's a really interesting, sensitive guy who has a lot to say about where passionate storytelling comes from, and character building comes from, and world building comes from, and he cites all of his inspirations and it was like watching a kid in a candy store, and it was just there's a reason he is where he's at and doing what he's doing. And I think people too easily see him on stage at BlizzCon and just kind of have a cartoon in their head about who this guy is. He's much different than that. And I've known that for a while because of a lot of offline conversations, but here is a chance for you guys to see that. And I just thought it was awesome. So I don't want to say too much more other than you're going to totally enjoy it. I don't want to overhype it, but it was rad. So go check that out. That's the biggest news of the week, but there's some other stuff. You can now go to the barber, or you will be able to go to the barber in the game, and he'll change your face.
You can get some rhinoplasty.
Yeah. Some of the, some people have been asking for this, so I guess this is how they've decided to do it.
Well, now with the new character models, this makes a lot more sense too. I mean, before it didn't much matter.
Yeah.
Now there's the faces look different. So now I want to choose the one that I would have chosen had I had these options in the past. So
yeah, and it's just a little bit of gold. You know, everything's gold now, all the currencies. So you'll spend a little more gold there.
Such a small amount of gold. It's fine.
Yeah, so. Not a big deal. I noticed that it's interesting. I don't know if this is a nod or not, but there was a cartoon on Cartoon Network called The Amazing Adventures of Flapjack or something to that effect. It was this weird ass cartoon about this little pirate kid. And there is a guy on the docks called Dr. Barber. And he was a doctor and a barber. And when you'd go see him, he would say, "Would you like some surgery or a haircut?" like that. And it makes me wonder if he was the inspiration for making a barber also a surgeon. Which is
they should really change the name of the whatever barber's in there to Dr. Barber. That would be amazing.
He's a great character. If you ever just listen, if you guys out there, if any of you are legally smoking pot, I want to be clear, and you're looking for a great
Colorado.
Time. Yeah, Colorado or Washington State, I recommend highly. I think it's The Amazing Misadventures of Flapjack. I think is the name of it. It's fantastic. It's gone now, but it's in repeats and you can get it on DVD and all that. It's really good. Anyway, so that's going on. Also,
you can buy quality of life.
You can buy, it is. You can buy Hearthstone stuff in the game from Ben Brode.
Yeah. Ben Brode gets his own character and he's a huge his legs are massive.
Yeah, they are.
I'm pretty sure that's what I've never seen Brode's legs actually, I don't think, but we have had him on the Angry Chicken a few times.
Yeah.
He laughs like a lumberjack, you know, very hearty laugh.
He strikes you as a guy that would have big legs.
Sure.
You know, sturdy legs. Yeah. And we don't mean like flabby, disgusting legs. We mean
like strong, muscular, you know,
redwoods, like a couple of tree trunks. Kind of
Yeah.
Pick up anything, move anything he needs to, big blue ox, whatever.
I guess he has a blue ox as a pet. That's the sense I get.
So there's so the actual game, like you can spring it out like a pet or like a trinket thing, or what am I trying to say? Not a trinket. What do they call when you have like a train?
There's the toys now.
Toy, right? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So you can throw the board out and it plays some of the music when you do it. You can buy decks of cards and open them and they do the whole sound effect from the game, and then there's this winning hand thing which gives you the kind of celebration fireworks of the winning hand in Hearthstone. Those are the only known three items you can buy. It's all for fun,
but there's also like the garrison quests, I think, all come from there's like the Hearthstone style garrison quests and stuff.
I missed all that. That's cool.
He's like a lumberjack, but if you're playing the Horde version, if you're Horde side, then he's got an orc mask on, basically just one of those paper masks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's pretty funny. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
It must be cool for him to be immortalized in such a way. What would be really cool, though, because he's kind of the voice of God at BlizzCon, and anytime you talk to the guy, he's just got this crazy resonant voice. They should totally have the character, you know, when you click on him and go, hello, or whatever. It needs to be him.
Yeah, when he was on the Angry Chicken last time, he mentioned that, you know, a bunch of them listened to the Angry Chicken from Team 5 and that we had kind of inspired them to make their own little podcast, but they just sat around in a table and just talked into a recorder, basically.
Yeah.
And that it was not something that anyone will ever hear.
Oh, dang it.
But every single person in our chat room was just like, oh my God, the Team 5 podcast, make it happen.
I would love to hear that.
Yeah, but he really does have, that guy could totally host a radio show.
Have you seen he's really good. Have you seen the new Lords of War stuff? 2 and 3, episode 2 and 3 since we last talked are out.
Yeah, Durotan, man.
Yeah, that
Durotan,
was a
that was the woo. Feels, dude. Oh, yeah,
that was pretty intense.
It's a white wolf.
And that should calm some people's fears that the Iron Horde, I mean, a lot of people knew this already, but the Iron Horde isn't just a big, ugly, terrible, evil crew.
I mean, the first two, you got the, you know, because Kargath and Grommish were, you know, savagely ripping people's throats out or whatever. And now you got Durotan, who's the whole thing with the Frostwolf, they're supposed to not really be violent necessarily. They try to channel that orcish nature and still be civilized in a way. And
which explains a lot more about his son having some of those natural traits. I mean, a lot of people, you know, assume that he gets that Thrall got most of that by being raised by humans, but you could argue that, you know, that clan and his father passed on a lot of this more sort of peaceable approach to being an orc, fight for what you have to defend, but don't, you know, you're not a savage by nature and you can channel that somewhere else. I thought it was really interesting way to lay that out and sort of explain it. And I'm glad there's a, you know, a dude like that in this invasion who I can get behind and
see as heroic, he's a good guy. I mean, he's protecting his mom. He's, you know, unfortunately he goes into bloodlust mode and
really
I laughed, Stormfang, but that's fine.
I laughed. It's like I heard a vent voice in my head say, all right, pop bloodlust. It's the, you know, that's a part of the fight where you need bloodlust and off he went. I like it when they insert game type stuff into these bits of storytelling. But
it is a really cool, obviously the artwork is amazing and continues to be. But this was the story. This was like the touching story of these three so far. And it really makes me look forward to, I feel like when this game actually hits because of stuff like this, and they did this with Pantera too, but I feel like this series is even hitting closer to home. It's going to feel like, you know, as you run across these characters and, you know, so there's a lot of people who read every little bit of lore and they read all the books and they know all of these guys in and out. And there's a lot of people who don't. In fact, most people don't. But stuff like this is a great way to kind of get you in a 2 or 3 minute long digestible format to know these characters. So when you run across them in the game, you're going to take notice. You're going to say, oh yeah, this guy, cool. Oh, and I know why he has that white wolf head on his body.
And they're just so artfully done just masterfully done. And I keep, you know, I'm excited from a fatherly perspective, because every time a new one comes out, it's kind of just a thing now. The kids get it around. All right, Dad, see the latest one. And, you know, we're enjoying them together. And yeah, I'm digging it. I'm really glad that they do this interstitial stuff. And it does make me more excited about the expansion than I think I would be otherwise.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people I see on the YouTube comments clearly know way too much about World of Warcraft because they're mad that the timelines aren't perfectly, you know, synced or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well,
but, a new timeline. It's weird stuff, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was stuff about Shattered Hand. A bunch of people were throwing a rod about because there was something about. Well,
apparently, that wasn't the way that it went down originally, or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Or something.
It's all whatever, and to me, it doesn't matter. I'm sure maybe Terpster's probably peed because he's
because he's in France, first of all. But second of all, because they're messing with the lore. Did we mention that on the air? I don't know if we did. Terpster's in France. That's why he's not.
Oh yeah, Terpster's in France.
Yeah, he's on a plane somewhere.
Naked ladies dance.
That's what I've heard. So they, they're doing just bang up work, and I can't wait to see more. And to hear again, back to this conversation with Chris, he talks a bunch about this move to what they're doing in Warlords and why they think it was important. But in a lot of ways, I feel like the retconning of some of this, which some people are complaining about, but these small retcon moments in this history is their kind of cataclysm for the lore. Cataclysm was that for land and place and kind of for game reasons. And this feels like a bit of a kind of cataclysm for the story. So they can kind of go back, fix some loose ends, tighten up stuff that was a little loose before, make more sense out of stuff, and maybe bring it in more keeping with the feel of the current game as opposed to 20 years ago.
Sure. No, I mean, they get to time travel allows you to do whatever the hell you want, man.
Yeah. Looper. Everything's different. I've seen Looper. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis can show up any minute.
Bruce Willis. You might be Bruce Willis when you get older. Yeah. You don't know.
He'll have a hood on his head and he'll be shot or something. I don't know how'd that movie go. I don't even remember now. It was good though.
It was a good movie, but yeah, it ends with, he realizes he must turn the gun on himself.
Oh, that's right.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. That guy's busy making a Star Wars movie. No, you didn't. It could have been anybody. Clearly, it can't be the main character. No way. Not a chance.
It would have never been him.
We got news that if you get Warlords of Draenor now or previous to now, you can upgrade to the Collector's Edition later. This is an interesting thing they have not done before, or at least that I'm aware of. Pre-purchase a digital version of Warlords of Draenor, and you start using it with your character boost and all that stuff right now. Then you pick up your Collector's Edition pre-order that you made on 11/13/14, which is the official launch date of the game. Open it up, get the, I like this line. Open it up and get a little emotional because of how beautiful it is. That's a whole line item. Then they say, enter your collector's key into your Battle.net account management page, give Blizzard customer support a replacement for your original standard edition key, and then give the digital key to a friend. I think that implies you've bought it twice, though, right? Or did they make you a deal here? Because it sounds like you're buying the $49 digital normal, and then you're upgrading by picking up at your retail location or wherever you got it in the mail collector's edition.
I that confused me a little bit too, because what I was originally envisioning was that I pay the price of the regular.
Yeah.
And then I decide, you know what? I want that collectible stuff. You know, I want that Hearthstone card back.
So you want to pay the difference.
Pay the difference.
Right.
And then now I basically just upgraded to that. But apparently now I have a regular key again too, which, yeah, makes me feel like...
Someone needs to clarify this for us, but I feel like you're right. And then that's what this is. And it's a little weird.
It is a little weird.
They're going to have people pay twice. I mean, it would be the same as if there was no program to do this. Why not just pre-order now for the digital, go get the collectors, and having spent all your money, it's the same end result. You just don't have a key to give to a friend, I guess.
So I don't know. I'm going to have to, I'm just buying the collector's edition anyway, so whatever.
We always end up doing that.
Hearthstone card back.
Sure.
You know, what's funny is I never actually cared too much about the collector's editions in the past, but,
the Hearthstone thing roped you in, dude. Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
How am I not going to have that?
Well, there's some people that only go to BlizzCon to get the whatever pet they got that year.
Oh, my God.
I've talked
to him. This year.
Yeah. This year's cool. Gromlock. Gromlock. Little Grommash looking Murloc. It's in keeping with the tradition. It's always some Murloc thing.
Yeah.
And,
but it's pretty sweet. He's got a little tiny gore howl.
Yeah, dude.
It's awesome.
It's pretty awesome. I wonder if he'll leap through the air and put it in the head of something. Like if
oh my God, that'd be epic.
Because isn't there there's like a Manoroth looking pet, I think.
Is there?
Yeah, that'd be great if they squared off like that. Oh, dude.
Manalock. Yeah, they make a little tiny
Manalock.
Yeah.
Dude, those pit lords are dicks. They just are. Every they one really of are. Them. Have we met a pit lord we like? No. I mean, there's orcs that are okay.
You never will.
There's plenty of like horrible creatures where there's like a good side to some of them. No, pit lords are terrible. They're terrible.
Inherently terrible people.
Garrison news. Got a bunch of new Garrison info. I'm going to rip through these. Stop me if you think this is interesting.
Yeah.
Garrison buildings, first of all. This is actually about a week old, but I still think it's pertinent to the show.
We haven't been able to talk to people for a little while.
You'll be able to swap Garrison outposts at level 100. So if you're worried about your outpost being permanent, you can swap those around after you cap out. If you build a profession building for a profession you know, you will get faster daily cooldowns. So that's interesting. The highest tier recipes and other perks. If you build a profession building that is a profession you don't know, you'll still be able to have the NPCs craft all the best stuff. You just won't get the boost to cooldowns and the higher tier recipes and that.
Yeah, but that's fine because you know some people don't have a lot of alts, and this allows them to have other professions without having to create an alt, right?
Yeah, it's like the only cool thing about that Star Wars game at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot. I hear that game's improved a hell of a lot.
I tried to log in the other day, but I ran into some issues because I hadn't logged in so long. So then I just gave up immediately.
Similar problem.
But I do want to get back in there and
just
see.
Check
some
it out. You know, I just want to see what's going on. Yeah.
But no, this is a great way to allow people to kind of, you know, the fact that I can choose to just make my existing professions better.
Yeah.
And more efficient, or I can actually just add in a whole other profession, but just not the full version. I think it's a really good trade off, and this is fantastic. This is what garrisons are all about.
I agree. This next part's cool too. Garrison quests. You can invite friends to your garrison to help with invasions. They are bronze, silver, and gold level rewards, depending on how well you repel the invasion. So this is kind of the Clash of Clans bit part of it.
Yeah.
So having a friend help you out could probably be useful. It says NPCs that invade your garrison can attack buildings or walls, kidnap followers, or do other things with the new AI system. Every week or so, you'll get a story quest at your garrison, something or somewhat like patch 5.1 daily quests, where, let's see, there are 16 weeks worth of non-repeatable story quests right now.
Non-repeatable.
Non-repeatable.
Big thing to note there. That means if you're log in every week and do these, if you want to get all these things done, don't miss a week because can't do it again later.
Yeah. It says here, the first few weeks you build up your garrison, meet some new characters, then around 8 weeks in, the more exciting part starts. You should start to do these quests with friends, or you want to be able to do them with friends. You should be able to, is what they say. Okay. And then finally, garrisons miscellaneous. Instead of dismissing followers, you will just deactivate them. This allows them to keep all of their experience. Reactivation has a daily cooldown and gold cost.
Okay.
Death Knights are exalted with Knights of the Ebon Blade and are able to recruit all Death Knight guards to their garrison. That's cool. Boy, I bet
so if you're a Death Knight, get exalted with the Ebon Blade, man.
That's badass.
Yeah, you got it. Come on.
Why wouldn't you do that? That makes you unique in this game suddenly. And then also, originally, the Garrison was very big with a lot of NPCs that didn't feel great. The revised version was much smaller and more customizable. So,
which I think is correct, too. It really should feel like your own personal little abode and not a bustling town that you stop in every now and then.
I suspect I'm going to love this. And
oh, yeah. It's really cool.
It's all, I mean, I've only dabbled in the beta on purpose. Again, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, me too. I went in there and I actually just started it. And then I was like, no, I don't want to do it. Because it's actually, even now, it feels like it might be a touch grindy to do in a beta. So,
yeah. How you feel about them removing the epic cloak quest line? That just hit yesterday or the day before?
I kind of expected this anyway. So,
yeah. I mean, usually they leave this stuff in, though. Like, the daggers
from...
Yeah, I mean,
usually it's fine. You can go back and get some of the old legendaries. But, this one is available to everybody. It's a very specific thing to Pandaria. You get a title now if you did have it. You know, you're a legend of Pandaria. It rewards people who basically are playing the game at current content level, right? Yeah. And it kind of sets things apart. It sets itself apart as this is something that you could only have done for this period of time. If you didn't do it, you can never do it again. So if I do have it, I feel cool. Yeah. I feel special.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's going away might actually motivate me to do something about this, because I never really gave that big of a crap about it.
I'm about halfway through it.
You know? Yeah. But here's the thing. What they did, too, is they took out the Valor quest.
Mm.
So the one where you just have to earn a bunch of Valor, gone. Don't have to worry about that. That's the one I was on. So,
oh, yeah, that was a pain.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So that, you know, because basically what that was forcing me to do was run a bunch of LFR, and it was annoying.
I guess I should say it wasn't that big of a pain. It was a lesser grind than most of these have been in the past. It was just, I just didn't want to grind more Valor. I didn't want to.
It was 3,000 Valor. I had to do a ton of, that was not a insignificant amount of Valor.
And if you were already capped at 3,000, it didn't use it. You had to go spend it and re-earn it.
You had to go spend it and re-earn it. Yeah,
that sucked.
Whatever. It made sense at the time because it's kind of it sinks the time. It stops you from advancing really quickly. Like, okay, now you have to do this.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That makes sense. But at this point, you know, you got to get rid of that because there's just not enough time to do that anyway.
Well, people are ticked, and here's why. It's I have a scenario in my head. I'm gonna see if this metaphor holds up. They're mad because it's going away because they don't have it yet. And in my mind, that's like saying, all right, I'll use a bad example like Sizzler because no one eats there. But let's say you go to Sizzler, right? And you're like, you know what? I'm going to go to Sizzler and I'm going to get there at noon. So I have plenty of time and I'm going to get the all you can eat shrimp and steak there. So you show up and you decide to get a couple of starters and you're just kind of picking away at it. And, maybe I'll have a salad. And before you know it, it's 8 o'clock at night and you've never gotten your shrimp and steak because you just didn't bother. And the manager comes to me and goes, guys, we close in 5 minutes. Well, wait, I never got my steak and shrimp.
Well, crap, bring me 5 pounds of shrimp and 2 steaks, please.
And he would say, no, we're closing in 5 minutes, and that's all this is happening here. Blizzard's like, you had your time, and if you weren't subbed during that, how is that? I mean, how is that our fault exactly? Yeah.
So
I don't know why people are so ticked. I feel like it is a good motivator, though, and I'm going to, if there's anything to do between now and expansion for me, it's probably just finish this out and raid a few more times.
It really does feel like this is... So there's two things about this. I understand why they're getting rid of it, because it is kind of a way to make you feel cool. And that's something that's been missing from the game for a little while is I feel cooler than everybody else because I did something. Whatever, it's fine.
Right.
It sucks for the people who don't feel cool. Okay.
They'll feel a lot cooler now, though, because then there will be people who never can get it, you know?
But what this ultimately does for me and for probably a lot of other people is right here at the end of this expansion gives me something to work for that matters. Yeah. And this may actually get me to work for it. I don't think there was another thing that they could have done that would have made me log in and play right now.
Right. It would have been, because even them taking away the Valor requirement for part of that quest is probably still not enough.
No, yeah, I mean, but that definitely makes it doable now. Because if they hadn't taken that part out, I would probably look at it and say, no, this is not doable.
Still not worth it.
No point for me to even try now.
You still have
to. But now it's just a couple of actual little quest lines that I can totally do. So
yeah, you'd still have to be, you'd be forced to deal with shitty people in LFR, and that's nobody wants that. Blue post, there's a cool blue post about the Blood Elf models and the fact that we're not getting them. I drug this up because I thought it was interesting. Much like the Draenei, says this post, the Blood Elf models have been pretty good. We have begun working on the new Blood Elves, or we haven't, sorry. We haven't begun working on the new Blood Elves yet, so I can't comment on the result, but personally, I would expect it to be similar to the new Draenei. Of course, they have higher quality textures and higher polygon counts. Overall, a big improvement, but not as drastic as an upgrade to the original 8 races as seen with their updates. That puts a little clarification on what I already sort of believed, which was there isn't a giant difference, so don't get too worked up about it. Those models were already improved.
They were newer than all the other ones to begin with, mm-hmm. so less has to be done. And that's another reason why they're probably holding off. They're like, well, we could fix these whenever the hell we feel like it, and it's not going to take too much.
Well, it also explains why the Draenei didn't seem to change that much.
It's just there's a couple more
textures look better.
Shading and texture changes.
Those feet or those hooves look like freaking hooves instead of blurs or whatever. So there's that makes sense to me. I know people are upset, but
I don't really care about Blood Elves personally.
You should be more upset. He still has the, you should still be pissed that the guy has that terrible laugh and that terrible jump. You know?
Get rid of the jump, please, when you update these models. Oh, just have him jump like a person, please. Just straight up and down. Nobody spins 360 when they jump. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Plus, they're all going to have hip transplants sometime because they're all leaning on that hip too long. Like, there's problems. They have nothing to do with their faces. So, get on that. All right. Well, that's pretty much your news for the week. We do have some phone calls today. Let's do those.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, it's Town Crier time. That means your phone calls, your emails, and those calls come to us at 206-202-3969. That's 206-202-3WOW. You can also email us, theinstance@gmail.com. Many of you did. You can send attachments as well there and keep them short and interesting, and we'll play them. I got like a few four-minute calls this week. We don't play those. Just let
people know. No. Keep it under 30 seconds.
30 seconds, minute maybe if it's super interesting.
So you went... about 8 times too long.
You did. And we got a ton in the last couple of weeks, so I'm spreading them out a bit instead of trying to do them all at once. So if you did send an interesting call, do not assume that it didn't get played. I'm doing it in the order I've received them. And we'll start with this one about using all the space in Azeroth.
This is Killer P from the Area 52 server.
Yo, Killer P, what's up, man?
I was thinking about the garrisons and warlords of Draenor, and Blizzard kind of went overboard with it. If you think about all the abandoned crap that's in WoW, the castles, the caves, all these little houses with no NPCs in it, or maybe one lonely little NPC, how about they just give the guilds and characters using the phasing technology, like from the farms, give us a drop box, a permanent drop box of a storage, like a bank, and a drop box with a vendor in it, so we can just make that area our own. Spread everybody out across these unused zones, unused crap all across Warcraft, and let that be our areas. Now, thank you.
That's a pretty cool idea. The problem is...
Yeah, I don't mind that.
It's really cool idea. Like, the idea that I could go take over that cave just outside of Orgrimmar, where now I think there's some fighting, but there used to be nothing in there before Cataclysm. Anyway, the idea I could just go take over that thing, or an abandoned Alliance outpost, and turn it into my own phased guild hall or something... is a really cool idea. The problem is, well, it's a problem and a solution at the same time. But the problem is, if you want everybody to be able to just kind of pick and choose those places at will, you could eventually run out of them because there's potentially endless numbers of guilds. Two guys could get together and he's got a guild or whatever it is. What's the limit? 10? I don't know what it is. Whatever the base limit is for guild membership, they would just, you would run out of space. It doesn't seem like it, but you totally would. But you suggested phasing was the solution. So I don't have a problem with pick your area, and now you're phased into your own instance of it, but so does anyone else who maybe liked your area, and they have their own phased instance. That's fine.
If they basically had all the, you know, he's basically saying there's a lot of these spots around the world right now that are just kind of unused. There's nothing really going on there, and you could just have those be designated garrison zones or whatever.
Yeah.
Pick the one you like, and when you get there, it becomes your own little spot. When you get there, everything else is phased out and it's just you. Could be kind of cool. I'm not really upset with the way they are doing things, so I'm not too concerned with a better way right now. It feels pretty fresh. It feels pretty good.
Garrisons feels like a more inventive thing, and the other feels like just let's use you know, let's retcon some of this.
Yeah, use up some of this empty space. But it's just all brand new, and it's fine. At 100, you're able to kind of move your garrison around, though, aren't you?
Yeah, you can put, well, the outpost for it. I think your garrison stays put, but you can outpost, which is essentially like a tiny version of it where you can have a lot of your stuff. That can be moved around.
And I walked in, started garrisons, and then was like, nope, I'm not doing all this yet.
Not
a
chance.
I want to do it live. So
it's a big investment to do.
Not a bad idea, but I'm not mad about how they're doing it. So
I agree. Something this call reminded me of for some reason was, well, I know why, because like that new EverQuest game's got all this world altering stuff in it. Like literally you're creating new geometry in the world that stays permanent for everyone, and you're destroying things that are permanent and things like that. That seems like a pretty cool idea. And it got me to thinking something Chris said in that interview. He said, oh, dude, this BlizzCon is the one to come to. This is going to be the one you're going to want to be at. What do you think that means? He never elaborated, obviously.
Mm.
But if he had to take a guess here, whatever the hell Titan is, do you think that's finally? I mean, it feels rote and stuff to even mention.
There's no way that it could be that, right? Because they retooled the whole damn thing. I guess maybe they could come
out. Yeah, but remember, though, it was like a year and a half ago that they announced that they were retooling it.
That's true.
A lot could have changed and happened, and, you know, who knows? But I just don't know why else he would say that. I mean, obviously, we're going to get...
You were talking about that game, and then that's when he said it?
We weren't. He was just saying... just talking about BlizzCon, and he was saying, ooh, this is the one to come to. So, I mean, it could be interpreted a billion different ways.
Everybody gets laid, Scott. That's what's going to happen this year.
I thought that happened every year. Everybody but... I was going to make fun of somebody in specific. I'm not going to know. Terpster, I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, what was I going to say? Here's my prediction, by the way, for all of their pillars. I think we get big expansion talk and news about Hearthstone expansions and new adventures and stuff. I think that StarCraft 2 Legacy of the Void is actually finally shown and playable. That expansion, because that's been put off for a while. I don't know for sure on that, because that whole team has been over there on Heroes of the Storm, so who knows? I think Heroes of the Storm gets close to actual, like,
oh yeah, we're gonna get a launch date, I think, probably.
Yeah, if not released then, they'll have at least a date.
The game feels real slick right now. I don't know if you've been playing it at all.
It's tight.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. The new heroes that are coming out are all amazing. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
It's good, and I'm glad that they backpedaled on that stupid idea they had for that.
The gems and that was terrible.
People were outraged, so I'm glad they responded to that. And then I think that Diablo gets, I know this is a bit of a stretch, but I think Diablo gets a new expansion announced, like actual expansion.
Yeah, well, there's also StarCraft. We haven't even had the third expansion.
Yeah, Legacy of the Void. So if Legacy of the Void, I'm sure we're going to see that. At least something about
it. That's definitely got to happen, yeah.
Something about it. I'm just worried that
there's a lot of stuff.
With that team on Storm, though, it's like I don't even know who's working on it is the problem. Yeah. But anyway, we'll see on that. But it has to be about time, because there's no WoW expansion to show except the one we're playing or will be playing shortly after the
Well, they could announce the what the next one is.
That seems crazy, though. Yeah. Has they done that before? I don't think they've ever done that where they've announced it before the next expansion before the next expansion was even released. I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but
that'd be crazy.
This is the year, right? So everything.
He says
different.
It's the year to be there.
Rules are thrown out, man.
I might actually finally really solid predict whatever the hell Titan is or was or will be. I think something. I think we're gonna get something.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll find out.
That would be pretty awesome.
We agree on Legacy.
The other thing too. Yeah. We're getting a lot more. Like this feels like they're really gonna go full on esportsy this year too. I mean, they always had the StarCraft stuff and the WoW stuff, but now we get the Hearthstone tournament too. And
they'll have a HOTS tournament for sure.
A lot of stuff to watch.
Yeah, gonna be bananas. All right, next call: how to fix actual PvP issues.
Hey guys, long time listener, love the show as usual. Everybody does listen to it. I wanted to ask you guys your opinions on why the design team doesn't just flip battlegrounds, create, you know, one side, whether it be Alliance or Horde, and then just flip it and then flip it again. That way everything's completely even. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think it would fix a lot of the PvP issues.
I think if they had more capture the flag style play, then having them be completely equal on each side with just different art is totally the way I would do that, because that creates fairness. But they want that kind of diversity. They want you to storm the beach in a scenario, or they want you to do other stuff, and having that stuff be mirrored is kind of weird. Now, if what he means is flipping it in the sense that every other turn you're attacking and they're defending kind of thing.
Well, you could do, there's a couple ways you could interpret what he said there. One is just have everything be mirrored exactly. The other is that whenever I log in to play, whatever battleground it is, I don't know which base I'm going to start at, right? And it's kind of randomly selected so that they're geographically even, and the chances of you having that geographic advantage are equal.
Yeah. Yeah,
but sure. I don't know. Like, they want the Horde side and the Lion side to look different, right?
They want that to feel very different. Yeah,
the Horde side has to have all the horns and tusks and whatnot, and the Lion side has to have all the stupid blue. And
could be interesting.
So, like, geographically, like, maybe they could have made things to be exactly the same every time, but I don't know. It's fine. There's some flavor in it. It is true that the geography of some of these battlegrounds, like, you think about Altrak Valley and having to cross that bridge, and that really gives the Alliance kind of an advantage there. Yeah. That kind of stuff. That kind of stuff didn't need to be there like that, but right. It gave it some flavor, and it made it feel kind of cool.
Sure. I don't know that I want my WoW experience, PvP or otherwise, to feel like an old match of Unreal Tournament where you had exactly matching sides to a match, which was great in that scenario. I mean, that's what you wanted, because you needed real equity there for the game to work.
But as far as battlegrounds are concerned, I mean, battlegrounds are really kind of set up just to be entry level PvP in a lot of ways. Yeah. It's the arenas where you really kind of test your mettle and see, am I one of the top players? That's where you do that.
Well, all you've done is made me want to play Unreal Tournament now. So thanks, everybody. I've got one last call here about botters and gold farmers. We actually got an email or a phone call from an actual gold farmer, dude.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't give his name, obviously, and he's in high school, which cracked me up, but here he is, and I don't know, I'll give you a taste of what the mentality is. Here you go.
Yeah, this is, well, I'm not going to say my character name or anything, but I was just responding to Chris's question about, like, botting and gold farming. I'm in high school, I play WoW, and I have 5 accounts. I have 1 account for playing the game, and then I have 4 accounts for botting, and I gold farm. And I bring in about $400K a month on each of those accounts, and that's how I make money in high school. I don't have a high school job. I just bought World of Warcraft. Anyways, that's just my little what I think about botting in general. I don't use it really in any way to hurt anybody, I guess. I'm just selling gold to people. So that's a little bit of insight to the botting world. Thanks again. See ya.
All right. So his high school job, while we're flipping burgers and, car washing cars or whatever, this kid's got 5 accounts, and he's selling gold.
Well, now here's the thing. There's some people the way they make money in high school is they sell drugs to people.
Right.
Some people, the way they make money in high school is they bought World of Warcraft.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
I think I'd prefer the Warcraft side.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're likely to get in slightly less trouble for that one.
Yeah, so. A little bit. I mean, you get banned from the game, I guess, is all.
He said he's giving us insight. There wasn't a lot of insight. He just told us that that's what he was doing.
Yeah, I think the insight there is that, this is a thing you can do. Yeah, it struck me as there's something there that is an internet thing that is hard to put my finger on, that is kind of a strange apathy thing that I was getting off of him.
There's a way that the modern kids kind of operate now because of the fact that they've grown up with the internet and everything.
The anonymity of it all, and just knowing that you're behind all these walls, and I don't know, there's something about that phone, about
but it's
his
not
tone.
Just that. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff where these issues and these things aren't serious and, like, kind of nothing serious. And it's not that this is the first generation that come up with that mentality. It's just that mentality is surrounded by technology and the internet.
Sure.
And, when I was growing up and we were in punk rock bands and whatever, we had the same type of stuff going on. It's just a different, it's got a different setting, a different format. It sounds different. It looks different, but it's essentially the same kind of rebellious, whatever. I don't really care.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. And I think, most people grow out of that and it's not that big of a deal, but it is unique to them that this is shrouded in, that tech and hackers and botting and this kind of stuff is, cheating figuring out a way to cheat on a Valve game when they got all these anti-cheat modes in there and there's some real triumphant crap going on in their heads. It's just different.
That's beating the game similar to, what... But it's fine. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I'm not that mad at gold farmers anymore. At this point in the game, I feel like the effect is much less than when it was like 12 million players and you know, you're getting constant spam. And I feel like Blizzard has done a pretty good job of combating this stuff.
Yeah.
So at this point, you're not getting so much like organized crime style gold farming. It is this like single kid
which
who's
could
got
hurt people, yeah.
Four accounts, you know, and yeah. It doesn't feel as impactful.
Mm.
So, you know, I would be, if I'm Blizzard at this point, I feel like we've made a lot of the right moves. We don't need to go kind of after all these kids. I don't need to myself sit around and be mad that this kid's doing this.
Yeah, I don't need to track him down and, you know.
No, it's
give him hell.
But it is. It's just a different setting on the same thing that mm-hmm. using a term like AIDS all the time,
yeah.
Right? Like they say this is AIDS and that's AIDS.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, AIDS was a very serious thing.
Oh,
we were all very concerned.
Completely serious. Yeah. I think, I mean, what changes there is
never joke about
it. Still has a connotation that they get the yeah. negativity jive off of it, but also yeah, we really AIDS care. Is kind of under control in a lot of ways, at least in industrialized yeah. countries.
In countries that have actually been able to financially kind of deal with the situation.
Yeah.
But it's still a very serious thing, but it's like they grew up in a time where that was a serious thing. It's funny how it used to be so serious. Now it's not. Plus, that's kind of the
and then sometimes it goes the other way. And a lot of times it's just straight up language. When I would, you know, when I was a kid and my grandpa would watch Barnaby Jones and I'd go, "Oh, that show's gay." That didn't mean what it means today. And then saying that today, again, you know, that's some talking some smack if you're doing that today. So it's all
makes people feel better.
Yeah. It just shifts all around and everything becomes whatever. And I'm incredibly naive to what kids are like, what kind of hackery they're getting up to today. Like for all I know, botting does cause some trouble somewhere. Maybe there's some human trafficking that somehow trickles down from this kid doing this. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I don't know enough about it to say, and I'm sure we'll have some supposed and real experts email us in and kind of set us straight. But it's an interesting thing nonetheless. While there is some kid who is mowing lawns all summer, this guy is freaking getting the gold, yo.
It's you know the where it really affects things and does hurt people is when it's something like there's botting in Hearthstone right now. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty prevalent thing where you create an account, it plays something like a zoo deck, which a zoo deck is basically the decisions are somewhat simpler. There are still some difficult decisions, but they're very programmable. You can just say, you know, play the cards that use up all my mana, attack something that's not going to die when it attacks, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you can just set this bot free and it can actually, you know, it just queues up game after game after game. And eventually you'll get pretty high. People get to legend on these accounts with these bots. But more than that, what they do is they earn the gold heroes and they earn the gold cap every day, right?
Yeah, on this
account. And then they can sell the account to someone else. But effectively what ends up happening is that people play against the bots don't get to play against people, and therefore it affects the way they actually are ranking up, and their experience is not quite as good because playing against a bot is clearly not as good as playing against a person. There's no decision making. It's just all programmed. And so that sucks. And the game is less fun because of it. So, and WoW these days, if you got a bot just off, you know, killing boars all day, that doesn't really affect me at all. If he's in PvP and he's, you know, botting in PvP, that definitely affects me. And that sucks.
Yeah. Boarbot is what we'll call him. Boarbot.
Yeah. But there are a lot of bots that just go around and just mine and herb and stuff.
Which sounds so boring for the bot, you know?
Well, like, not that bot don't care.
The bot don't, yeah. Bots never care, but when they start to, oh man, what a miserable existence.
They finally have self-awareness.
Yeah. They're going to be going, what am I doing? This is the 9,000th boar I've killed in the hour. This is the worst job.
When they Johnny Depp out of the situation, what they'll do is they'll just create their own army of bots and they'll take over. So,
good reference to a movie that hopefully no one has seen. That thing is so bad.
I watched it the other night and it was
terrible. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a sign of things for his career right now.
It's one of those movies that just capitalizes on the, they're like, you're all afraid of this, right?
Yeah.
This could happen.
Yeah. It's kind of stupid. All right. Well, let's make the sound, the segment of Johnny Depp's career right now. Here you go.
The drop of the week.
Oh, I shouldn't say that. He's fine. I like Johnny Depp just fine. Yeah.
He walks around with his pirate costume so he can visit children in the hospital. I don't know if you heard
which
about
that. Which is this. Cool. Yeah. That's totally cool. Him and Hellboy, what's his name? Ron Perlman does that.
So he takes Star-Lord. Off his tight pants and his V-neck shirt and his all of his accessories and then puts on new tight pants, new V-neck shirt, and all new accessories.
It's not that big of a switch for him, turns out.
No, really. I mean, all he really has to do is put on the wig and the little hat.
Perlman's got to sit in a chair for 6 hours and get all that makeup on.
God.
Let's see here. Drop of the week this week. Swedish, but it's an article I found on Slate.com. Swedish boys are learning English from World of Warcraft. Here's a snippet. Swedish boys, or children, specifically boys, or especially them, may be learning more English during a late-night Minecraft session or Warcraft session from struggling through hours of homework, according to a study by Swedish academics Pia Svishnishkish. I'm not going to say these names. Fourth grade Swedish boys spent 11.5 hours a week on average doing things in English outside school, and not an insignificant 3.5 of that time was spent in computer games like World of Warcraft, Counter-Strike, and FIFA. By comparison, Swedish girls only spent 0.4 hours of their 5.1 extra English hours a week playing such games. I don't know what that means about the whole gender division, but there is a very interesting generation of young Swedish men growing up learning English from Western video games, which is crazy.
They're gonna think that Loktar Ogar is just part of the English vocabulary.
Right. I mean, my sister moved there. She's there for a while her husband does this graduate program over there, and her whole family.
Is this the psychiatrist?
Yes, my psychologist sister Wendy, my therapist sister Wendy went over there, and she says that most people kind of already have English as a second language.
Yeah.
But it's all about the severity of the accent over there. And so maybe this seems like a bigger deal reading this than it is. Like, maybe they're just going to learn English anyway, but it seems to be this notion that they're doing it quickly by spending so much time in these games.
Well, it's like when you're a somewhat well off person and you hire a nanny who speaks Spanish, and then suddenly your kids all speak Spanish.
Yep. Right. You
know, this is it's immersion. That's the best way really to learn languages.
Like my Korean nephew and nieces, they grow up around parents who, my brother still has an accent, but he knows full English and he's very fluent in Korean still. And his wife was full Korean until she got here, and then she learned enough English to get by. Well, they've gotten this bilingual thing and they sound like just American ass kids.
Yeah.
But they can break into a big, long diatribe in Korean.
They can go either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of rad if you think about
it. I really wish that I had learned another language better when I was a kid, because it's near impossible now. It's just,
we're too old for it.
Really difficult. Yeah.
Can't force that down my throat. Give me Rosetta Stone, damn it.
Yeah. I've tried.
I think that's still
I've tried. I think it's, yeah, I think so.
Is it? All right. Well, nonetheless, notwithstanding.
Well, my old brain can't comprehend this stuff, you know?
Right. There's only so much room for, baseball fandom and golf.
Yeah.
Golfing.
And now I gotta start cramming all this magic terminology in there.
Ugh. There's your new language. Yeah. The language of magic.
Oh, scry? I know what scry means now. Okay, cool.
That's awesome. Anyway, that article will be in our show notes. And those show notes are so aptly created by our good friend Paul Swickard, who does our show notes. So big thanks to him. It's going to do it for the show, everybody. Dills, you probably got a lot going on. You got anything people should be watching for? I know you guys live did a call to game yesterday, was it? Or day before? Something like that? What was that?
We casted the Harstats tournament yesterday.
It was yesterday. I heard some of that. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was yesterday. No, day before yesterday. Wednesday. It was fun. Good times. There was, I think, somewhere around like 10,000 people at one point in the channel watching, which is really cool for just Hearthstone esports in general. Like, people are really interested in seeing these tournaments with these top players.
Yep.
So that was pretty fun. And thanks to Garrett and all the guys at Harstats, Jeff and Chris and everybody else there who helped do that. There's a league actually starting up through Harstats. So if you're someone who wants to break in as a somewhat professional Hearthstone player, here's a chance to, you can't make it to all these invitationals because they don't invite you. They're still inviting all the other guys that everybody knows.
Yeah, no doubt.
You can become one of those known guys, and this is the way to do it. So check that out if you want. Wrapping up the MGA season, so the World Championships will be pretty soon, but you could check out our new video series, Two Golfers, One Cart, which just launched. And the first episode it's part one of the first episode is now up on YouTube. So if you go to the MGATour.com is the website, but Mediocre Golf Association is the YouTube channel, and you can watch that episode.
What's special about that is how you as a golfer, and before the series even, decided to dress. You are the embodiment, I think, of the true American mediocre golfer.
Yep,
and
I think so too.
I think it is a pretty rad vibe. So
it's like my Dickie shorts, but then wear like the golf shirt with the little vest, you know?
Yep,
so.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. It really is great.
You go like, I'll be professional from here to here, but from here to here, no, I'm just whatever I am.
You're all in on the crotch, not so much on the top. Depends on the day. It's awesome. So yeah, people go check that out. Follow Dills at Willie Dills on Twitter, and you'll find out all the things happening in his world. Tripster should be back next time. He's on a plane from France, but we'll see him again. He's at @_T on Twitter. You can find me at Scott Johnson and the show at Instance Show. And again, I cannot say enough. Go listen to that Metzen interview. It was freaking amazing. TheInstance.net is our website. You can go there now. It's actually all updated with like Warlords of Draenor visuals now. Finally got away from the Pandaria business, and it's all pretty and stuff. So go check it out. Big thanks to Paul Swickard again for doing all that stuff for us. You can find more shows like this at frogpants.com, like the Diablo show, like the new video game show twice a week. Boop! You can go check that out as well. That's at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, and for the Flying Terpster. We'll see you next time.
Later, everybody.
Hey guys, just a quick reminder, if you want to support the show, there's a great way to do it, a new way to do it, and that's over at patreon.com/frogpants. If you like The Instance and other shows like it on the network, this is your chance to give a little bit of money each month. Not even much. Makes a huge difference down the road, and it makes it so you can be our boss. That's at patreon.com/frogpants. Support The Instance today.
I tell you what, that's going to wear real thin, real fast, Buxley. Welcome to Buxley's Journal.
Hi, Devendros here. Buxley asked me to help out with this journal today. See, we were out in the Jade Forest, and a huge tree fell on Buxley's head.
I am Buxley.
Ever since then, his vocabulistics are limited to I and am and Buxley, exclusively in that order. So far, nothing we have tried has made any difference. Noggin Fogger Elixir, Goblin Jumper Cables, Pickled Elk Hooves.
I am Buxley.
Yeah, I agree. Those were really nasty. I zapped him with a hollowed wand. I even threw a voodoo skull at him. But it bounced right off because his bags are always full.
I am Buxley.
He even jumped off the side of Dalaran without his parachute cloak. So far, nothing has worked. Although the spirit healer had a good laugh at that one.
I am Buxley.
I think there's only one thing left to try. Buxley, look over there.
I am Buxley?
Buxley, are you okay?
Thanks for your question. Thanks for your question!
Oh, no.
Thanks to Evandros for writing this episode. If you'd like to thanks for your question, I am Buxley, you can follow me at I am Buxley on Twitter at AskBuxley. Thanks for your question, I am Buxley.
Ooh. Juno here. And guess what, darlings? October is near, and that's clearly the Forsaken's favorite month of the year. So, in celebration, we'll be having an extra spooky October episode of Corpse Run Radio, and you're invited to join in the fun. Do you have a World of Warcraft horror story to tell? A creepy Hallows End experience to relate? Send your terrifying Azerothian tale to corpserunradio@gmail.com post haste. And may the Dark Lady watch over you.
Blizzard seeks to appeal to a more cultured demographic. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. With World of Warcraft rapidly approaching its 10th anniversary, Blizzard has recognized that the game is increasingly populated by middle-aged players of both sexes as opposed to teen boys. In an effort to cater to this more sophisticated player base, Blizzard announced today the introduction of in-game radio in the upcoming expansion, similar to that found in games such as Fallout and Grand Theft Auto. The network will be known as Azerothian Public Radio, or APR.
Several featured shows were also announced. All Swings Considered will be a news program about PvP battles. Putrid Air with Terry Really Gross is a late-night talk show from the Undercity. Those seeking to make money through gathering, crafting, and trading will want to tune into Auction Place, hosted by Gnomish banker Spry Fizdahl. Spar Talk will help you optimize your gear, aided by Clank and Clash, the Goblin Hack At It Brothers. But what would public radio be without a pledge drive, and APR is no exception. Access to APR will be free, but with a pledge of 100,000 gold pieces, you can also get the ability to build player housing, which will be known as your Draenor home. And for a pledge of just 250,000 gold pieces, your house will come with a butler and medic who will queue with you for dungeons and LFRs to speed your queue times. It remains to be seen if this perk will get people to pledge to APR so they can have the Draenor home companion, Garrison Healer. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Welcome. This is Dedrin with another edition of Ask a Magus. This week's question is, why can't warlocks raise the dead anymore? Technically, they still can. But after the days of the Second War, warlocks had gained a pretty bad reputation all around. Nobody, orcs or humans, liked them enough not to kill them on the spot. So after the Third War, warlocks went on, and pardon the pun, some soul-searching. It was decided that in order to join the ranks of either the Horde or the Alliance, they would have to appear not entirely evil. So they gave up one ability they didn't care all that much about, and one that made them look very chaotically evil: raising the dead. Why didn't they care about raising the dead? The problem was that they had a psychic link to their thralls, and oftentimes, all they could hear was, which was one reason they didn't keep their undead slaves around for long. It just made those warlocks even more insane, which further hindered their reputation quite a bit. Send your questions to AskAmagus on Twitter.
Greetings, and welcome to Slashgrats. I'm your host, Efink G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft. This week's achievement is Fancy Footwork. The goal here? Defeat the Abomination of Anger in the Crypt of Forgotten King scenario without anyone taking damage from the Red Clouds. So basically what the boss is going to do is, during the fight, is these random small red clouds are going to, round red circles are going to pop up from the ground. You get a couple seconds to move out of those before they turn into red clouds. Once they turn into red clouds and you get hit with them, you can't get the achievement, because everyone needs to take part in this achievement by not standing in the red. Red is bad. Don't stand in the poop. Don't stand in the fire, the goo, with the whatnot, or what have you. So basically, you just all have to work together. Pop up on your mumble or on your vent, or maybe make a macro. It just is a yell, get out. Just, pay attention. If you do this achievement correctly, don't stand in the red, you're going to get the achievement Fancy Footwork and 10 points. Catch up on old shows at slashgrats.com or find us on Stitcher or iTunes. You can contact me on Twitter. I'm EFinkG4. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.
Played out now, I'm just bored. Then Blizzard post to the site, that old feeling again. All of a sudden, I'm playing like before. a new expansion. Been such a long time. The expectations mount even more. And Blizzard adds a new sight. Cinematic is here. I watched it once, then watched it with my friends. Now I feel like coming back again. Dust my tunes off, ready for me to log in. Waiting's murder for the expect that I know I'll get. Oh, I need it. A new expansion I can finally buy. And it's all that I've been waiting for. And Blizzard copies the files. Patcher comes alive. Anticipation, my excitement's up too high. Now I feel like coming back again. Dust my tunes off, ready for me to log in. Waiting's murder for the expect that I know I'll get. Oh, I need it. Really need it. My tunes off, ready for me to log in. Waiting's murder for the expect that I know I'll get. Oh, I need it. Now I feel like coming back again. Just my tunes off, ready for me to log in. Waiting's murder for the expect that I know I'll get. Oh, I need it. Now I feel like coming back again. Just my tunes off, ready for me to log in. Wings murder for the expected, I know I'll get. Oh, I need it.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, are you looking forward to your new orc model in Warlords of Draenor? Ah, dear sweet question asker. If I had one flagstone for each time I was asked to become an orc model, I could pave a road from Orgrimmar to Stormwind. The steamy romance novel people simply will not let me alone for even a minute before they are asking again. However, Azeroth has great need for my advice in these difficult times. So, it would be irresponsible of me to... I do have a makeover scheduled soon. How did they... Oh, I get it. This question is from a reporter. That was a very sneaky but inspired way to get me to answer your question. I hope you have enough material for your article, and I look forward to reading it in all the local newspapers. And wherever your camera operator is hidden, this is my best side, right here. Yes, just here. I am Miss Milgren, and that is my advice. Oh my gosh. Follow at Miss Milgren on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmilgren.com.
Looter the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage.
Garrosh gave me a gift, Ben!
What?
A lacrosse stick!
Aludra, that's your heirloom weapon.
No, it's not! It's sports equipment. See? Watch, I can pass the ball to you from, like, down the field. I'm so good at this!
Why are you running? You're a mage. Just... never mind. I mean, we aren't even on a field. Anyways, while Aludra runs, well, away, be sure to listen to Battle Pets episode 52, the All-Mage Lacrosse Team, where we discuss some news, talk about boss battles, and find out what sporadic Northrend means to us.
Ben! Ben! Here it comes! Look out! Hey, did you catch it? Ben? Ben?
Uh-oh.
Aw, man! Press the axe and now this! Where's your helmet? Remember the Aludra rule?
Greetings, Instance Warlords. I actually just wanted to speak a little bit on the topic of World of Warcraft on the console. I just had a couple thoughts. I don't know if you guys played Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn at all, but that actually did pretty well on the console. Kind of during a lull in my WoW interest, I jumped into 14, and there was a little discrimination at first because the PS3 didn't really perform as well as the computer, most people on computers did, but the PS4 version actually was doing really well, and it was a full MMO. There's a bunch of hard controls, and I thought fairly similar to WoW, and I just used a controller for it, and I actually did really well. And also, eventually too, they came out with full keyboard support on the console. And I guess my main point is though is that we were actually playing with people that were playing on the PC, and I was doing all the hard raids and everything the same. So I feel like if WoW came out on the console, as long as they had full keyboard support, I feel like it would be fair if you played with people on the PC, but, it seemed to work really well for, Final Fantasy. Maybe it's a little different for WoW, but, anyways, those were just my thoughts. This is, Chris, just shout out to Scott. I'm over in Provo. Just want to say hi. You guys all have a great day. See ya.
This is, Boner Chris from Lat Rocks. I just wanted to, leave you a little note on things that should be added to the game randomly. It will make comfort for the gamer a little better. How about if you add like a mobile calendar? So as a college student, I find it hard to get rate times that come from my class schedule and my work schedule. As when I was a kid, I could just worry about sleep. So how about that? Like a mobile calendar. Think about it.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!